And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
The good news is that oil prices are on the decline. Today, falling 84 cents a barrel to $69.68. It's a slippery slope we're riding on, and Americans are feeling it. Today, we hear exactly what they have to say as we talk with Ann Smith in Maine, and Ann Smith in Utah, and Ann Smith in Minnesota. As a matter of fact, it's Ann Smith Day across America and around the world when the Wild Side News continues. Stay tuned.
America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all. On a highway or a road along a levee, performance is sweeter, nothing can beat her. Life is completer in a Chevy. So make a date today to see the USA and see it in your Chevrolet.
Travel and ease, travel west.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
This last weekend, I drove from San Diego to Mesa, Arizona to be with my mom and other members of my family over Mother's Day. The cost of gas for that trip was $126 to go 800 miles. I could have flown for $125 round trip. But money was not my only consideration. I had the chance to drive through the high desert outside of San Diego, then across the flat expanse through Yuma, and then up to Phoenix and Mesa. I'm a driver. I love to hop in my car and drive cross-country, or up-country. America, family, cars, vacations, they're all tied together in our mythic past. Ask almost anyone, and they have memories of driving with their family or friends off on a road adventure. The long trips were broken up by the need to retank, fill her up. Gas was the least concern for the traveler. I remember a time I left San Francisco in a Volkswagen van with $19 in my pocket, and I made it to Minnesota with a few cents to spare. This challenge of gas prices just may be one of our first intergenerational challenges, as the MTVers have to face that gas pump just like the rest of us. And it's let the air out of their tires as well. Today's show is dedicated to all of us, as seen through the eyes of Ann Smith. Ann Smith lives in Maine, and she lives in Massachusetts. She's in Minnesota, Utah, and Washington. And today, we hear from Ann Smiths from across the nation on how these record-high gas prices are affecting them. It's another chance for the real voice of the earth to be heard, as it is each week here in the Wild Side News. So, following this week's news, it's a special dedication show to Ann Smith. So first, the news. Bolivia's foreign minister repeated President Evo Morales' proclamation to take back their various nature industries, nationalizing control of land, timber, silver, and water. In various corners of the earth, people and nature are being forced to unite their sacred bonds. Many experts are predicting that this will not be the last such move by indigenous-friendly leaders, and may in fact be the beginning of a more widespread movement to regain national sovereignty, a move in direct contradiction to globalization. The new competition now in the nature industries is forcing the planet into a forced reformation. An idea that has seemed a bit corny for some time is quickly becoming the hottest commodity on the market. It's ethanol, and almost overnight, everyone likes corn. Although Brazil has been developing their ethanol economy for 20 years, somehow the story managed to evade the American public, until now, that is. Suddenly, farmers, state legislators, small-town granaries are planning to plant corn, build refineries, and move swiftly into an ethanol era. Now, if we could only discover a nation that is using hydrogen to power their... Wait, this just in. Iceland announces a conversion to a hydrogen economy. I repeat, Iceland is building a hydrogen economy. Perhaps next week I can report that local, state, and federal agencies have committed their full resources to complete energy independence and a solar hydrogen future. One has to wonder what's being discussed on the nature news channels in Florida, as it seems alligators have almost overnight decided that humans make great snacks. This past week, three women were killed by alligators in Florida by three different gators, one while jogging, one while snorkeling, and one was indeterminate. This sudden rash of gator attacks is stunning, as only 17 attacks have occurred in the past 58 years. Speculation has it that due to the drought this past year in the Everglades, which decreased the available water routes, coupled with an ever-increasing human population that impinges on historic gator territory, tensions between the competing populations for habitat are on the rise. Florida residents are encouraged to keep away from gator territory in mornings and evenings when gators are most active, and to keep their dogs on tight leashes. And another unusual story comes from Alaska, where an Idaho hunter shot and killed what he thought was just a good old polar bear. But when authorities happened to take a closer look, surprise, surprise, the animal was, in fact, a cross between a polar bear and a grizzly bear. Brown splotches of fur were intermixed with the white, but more amazing were the long claws, indicative of the grizzly, and an indented forehead, common in grizzlies, but very different from the straight forehead and muzzle of the polar bear. Final proof was provided when DNA tests proved that the bear's father was a grizzly and his mother was a polar bear. Many have tried to suggest that this most unusual union was somehow related to global warming, although no real correlation has been conjectured. It may just be a case of love at first sight between a towering, massive brown grizz and a beautiful, playful white polar bear female. Already, Disney studio writers are probably penning the story as we speak. The East Coast is experiencing the worst flooding since the 1930s. Rains have finally eased, but the danger remains. More than a foot of rain fell across New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and southern Maine between Friday and Tuesday, with up to 17 inches in some places. The heavy rains triggered the worst flooding in some areas since 1936, according to the National Weather Service. The month is only half over, but it already ranks as the wettest month on record in Concord, New Hampshire, and Portland, Maine. Heavy flooding is widespread throughout the region, and although the rains have subsided, now the threat is from the potentials for dams, many of which were built decades ago, which may succumb to the record rains and finally let go. If that happens, various communities could be hard hit by flash flooding. The town of Milton, Massachusetts, is on alert as the dam there is particularly vulnerable to rupture, which would send a 10-foot wall of water downstream. More than a dozen dams are being monitored. This problem is now into its second phase. The question on everyone's mind these days seems to be, is this the way it's going to be from now on? Whatever the future brings, you'll hear about it here each week on the Wild Side News. And that's the news. And a reminder that when you have breaking nature news in your world, contact me here at the Wild Side News at wildsidenews@cox.net. That's WILDSIDENEWS at COX.NET. So now we get on with today's feature. A number of years back, I was living in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I was invited to a very private, almost secret briefing by a well-known New Agey guru type. And he was talking about the fact that we were heading into an age in which change was going to be happening at an accelerating rate, and that humanity would be forced to either accelerate with these new energies to survive, and that there would be many, literally millions around the world, who would not be able to adapt, and that they would therefore perish. Quite frankly, I was shocked to be told that this was our future. I quickly felt a kind of anger welling up inside of me, because I'm one who truly believes in the power of free will, and the hope and dream that humanity is wise enough collectively to do the right thing and make the changes necessary in time. I still hold on to that vision, and it's in that spirit that I bring you a special message from a people's collective of voices known as Ann Smith. Ann Smith is the Everywoman. She is mom, worker, retiree, social worker, wife. She lives in Maine and Florida, Texas to Washington, and everywhere in between. And with the sudden massive increases in gasoline prices, the Ann Smiths of our nation are having to live with these challenges, and as moms and workers adapt to these changes. So now we hear from Ann Smith, actually 13 Ann Smiths, as they share their thoughts on the increasing challenges of life in an oil-addicted society.
I'm my only family. All my kids are grown, but I'm a home health worker, and they do pay me mileage, and that used to be a pretty good deal, but right now we're getting close to just breaking even.
Yeah. Now, how much are you paying for gas right now in Maine?
$2.85 at one place in Blue Hill, about 20 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And here on Deer Isle, $2.95.
You use your car then quite a bit in your work.
Yes.
And then, of course, in your regular life as well. How is this affecting you? Is it affecting you? Maybe it's not.
Well, everybody's a little bit broker than they used to be. Well, we're going to an Andre Rieu concert in New Hampshire next week, and the price of gas is going to be quite a lot higher than it was last year.
So are you finding yourself thinking twice before hopping into your car?
Not to go to an Andre Rieu concert. That will go, even if it's, more than this. Other than that, our home heating oil. That's outrageous.
Well, talk to me about that.
Thank God we had a warm winter.
In Maine, of course, you have really tough winters. I grew up in Minnesota. I remember home heating oil was probably 26 cents a gallon. And we thought that was exorbitant. Of course, that was a long time ago.
A year or two ago, we thought 99 cents a gallon was outrageous. Now it's well over a dollar. I think it was close to two. And I just pay it off little by little.
Mm-hmm.
I just pay the bills as they come in and hope I have enough to do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about other people in your town? Are they talking about the price of gasoline?
Everybody. I think all over the country we are. Everybody talks about the price of gas.
And what are they saying? What are you hearing?
Everybody's talking about it. Nobody's doing anything about it. We all talk about the guy who's retiring with all these billions of dollars from Exxon and... we keep saying it's pure politics. Old George has to fill his pockets before he's out of office. Basically, we're blaming it all on Bush because we blame everything on Bush.
Well, someone's got to take the blame here because something's going wrong, you know. I mean, I'm going to actually make calls to refineries and gas stations and try. I won't get to the bottom. No one ever has.
No, you won't get an honest answer.
No.
It's pure politics.
Yeah, well, that's what it is, and that's why we never get to the bottom of it. Everybody kind of knows, I think, instinctively what the truth is. There's people making a lot of money, lot of money, and they have friends who control the spin, and that's kind of how it works, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This all has happened since Bush has been in there and has the war going and everybody's getting killed off. It's none of the political people who have people over there.
Are your friends speaking a similar language?
Everybody. You know, how this man ever got elected is amazing because I haven't heard anybody who thinks he's doing a good job.
Maybe we can do it right next time, whatever right is.
I don't know. These people go to Washington with great ideas, but then they get into the system, and I don't know.
Well, listen, Ann Smith, thanks for giving your thoughts here on the Wild Side News. Hopefully we'll have some sort of break, but, you know, I kind of doubt it because we're heading into the high-priced gasoline as summer approaches.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
When those wedding bells are ringing and your friends the rice are flinging, in your Chevy you'll be winging. Get away from everything in.
Basically, it's not affecting me. It's affecting me and it's not affecting me in that I'm retired. Now, if I was still working like I was a couple of years ago, it would be greatly affecting me. But thank God I'm retired, so I can pick and choose when I go out. But when I go out, I have to plan, whereas before I didn't have to plan. Am I making any sense?
Absolutely. I think what you're saying is it costs a lot more to get around these days.
You know, if I decide to go somewhere, I have to plan what other activities I can do to maximize my use of gasoline. Whereas in the past, I used to just, you know, go someplace and come back. So now I have to say, okay, let me do four activities today versus just doing one.
Now, what are you paying for gas today?
The last time I went, I saw gas, it was $3 and, I mean, like $3.20-something. You know, the last time I was at the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what I do now, I don't let my tank get that low. And maybe it's just psychological.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something psychological about the huge amount at the pump.
Now, are you driving a small car, middle-sized car? Or?
No, I drive a luxury car.
Mm-hmm.
I drive a Lincoln Town Car.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose you're getting about, what, 10 miles to a gallon or something if you've checked?
I really don't pay attention to how much, but I know that one thing, I don't let my tank get down to empty or half a tank. I used to get my tank down to a half a tank and then fill up, but now I do it at a quarter of a tank.
So does that mean that there's some days that normally you would have been out driving and you're deciding not to?
You know, the best way to describe this is that I'm originally from Southern California and I just moved here 2 years ago, so I really don't know the area that well. And so if I was still in Southern California, I would be out driving because I know the areas and I know where I would want to go. Here, because things are not as convenient as they are in Southern California, I have to drive further distances.
Now,
for example, if I wanted to go shopping for clothes and stuff like that, I have to drive all the way to D.C. or to Virginia to just go to the stores that I'm accustomed to, whereas when I lived in L.A., I only had to drive 7 or 8 miles. So I tend to plan my trips shopping versus whereas if I thought about it, I needed something to go, you know, something to add to my wardrobe, I'd just run on, I'll pick it up and come on back home. It's more than a notion when you have to drive 20-something miles just to go to a store that you're accustomed to shopping to.
So do you think you're having to be concerned more about the extra added cost? In other words, is that affecting how you use your car, or are you just going to continue to accommodate?
Well, it is extra cost of using my car because, see, the money I spend on gas, I could be spending on something else.
Now, what are your friends talking about? Are they talking about it in Maryland there?
The people I know are talking about the high gas costs. My friends in Southern California are talking about it because it's higher there than it is here. And these people I know throughout the country are talking about the high cost of gas, and they think it's artificial and they think it's ridiculous.
Anyone talking about who they think is what's causing the high gas prices?
Well, they just think it's greed, and that it's, you know, it's greed on the part of the gas companies, and they're looking at the current administration, thinking that the current administration, gas wasn't that high until this administration came into office, and they really don't trust the vice president.
Well, that's pretty common sense right now. I think we all kind of have that feeling. It's just now really being discussed more openly. I would guess there was a time when you weren't talking like that.
Oh, yeah. You know, when I worked in Los Angeles, I drove from the valley to the harbor in the same day. Or, you know, from downtown L.A., I would drive out to the valley, then come back and drive out to the harbor. It was no big thing. If I was living in Los Angeles now, I would have to think about it.
Well, I want to thank you. I'm just calling Ann Smith across the country, and you're in I'm not going to say your town.
Echo Creek.
Well, I'm not going to say it, unless you want. Is that all right? Can I say Echo Creek? And then people.
It's not Echo Creek. It's Echo Creek.
Oh, that's right. It is Echo Creek, isn't it? Well, where is that?
It's about 25 miles outside of Washington, D.C., and maybe about 15 miles from Alexandria, Virginia.
Mm-hmm. How big a population?
You know, it's not very big. You know, when you put it in perspective, when you look at the whole state of Maryland and put it in perspective to the total population of the city of L.A., the total population of Maryland is smaller than the city of L.A. and the county of L.A., so it's relatively small.
Do you think
it's a different lifestyle.
Do you think you're going to be able to Well, it sounds as if you're not going to be radically impacted by the cost of gasoline.
No, because I'm retired. But if mm-hmm. I was working, I would be traumatized.
Mm-hmm. Well, for example, when you were working, do you have an idea of how many miles per week you'd be driving?
Well, the nature of my job had me out a lot, but the city provided me a car, so it really didn't have an impact on me. Mm-hmm. But I used to drive 8 miles to work in the city of L.A., but it was stop-and-go traffic. And in other words, it took me 45 minutes to get to work in L.A., and it takes me 45 minutes to drive 40 miles here. And so when you're stopping and going, you're burning more gasoline. So I think it's the difference of the the impact of a huge population versus a smaller population as to how much gasoline you use.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we're going to ever see lower prices again?
I don't think they're going to go down under $2 again.
Mm. No,
you know, I remember when gas, I hate to say this, but I remember when gas was 55 cents and 39 cents.
Well, I can actually remember 19 cents.
I remember when we had to stand in line in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when gas went to $1. It's just that I just don't think it's going to go below $2. I would hope it would go down.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, even though I may not be financially impacted, I think about the people who are moderately to low income working and barely making it.
That is where it really hurts, because I think about that too. I go to the gas pump, and there's a look on people's faces now that I see when they're at the gas pump, and it's like, please stop, just stop. They can't. It's $30, $40, $50 to fill up your tank, and if you're working for minimum wage, you know that's a day's work.
Well, if you're working for minimum wage or a little above minimum wage, it has a tremendous impact. And people, it's just like, I used to work with seniors in L.A., you know, doing public policy as it relates to senior programs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about how seniors used to have to make decisions between the cost of a prescription drug versus eating. Now you have average Americans making those kinds of decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something wrong with that.
And
whether
that
you're going to eat or buy gas for your car so you can get to work.
Any ideas on what we can do to help change this, turn this around?
Well, until we get the present administration out, I doubt if much is going to happen. And then we need to look very hard at the people in Congress to see what they're doing, because I think they can do things to make these oil companies bring these prices down.
What's wrong with Congress?
They're not in touch with real America.
Well,
I think they have just totally lost touch.
Well, they don't seem to be asking any real questions.
Well, they don't seem to be, you know, really talking to their constituents.
Mm-hmm.
They need to come home, spend a week, go out in the community and talk to their constituents, hold some public hearings to find out what really is bothering the people that they're supposed to be serving, rather than giving them lip service about what they're going to do. Oh, yeah, because in the next election, I'm going to be looking very hard at how, even though I don't know most of the politicians here in Maryland because I'm relatively new to the area, but I'm going to be looking at their voting records on certain issues.
Hmm. Like what issues?
One, how they vote on the economy, how they vote on immigration, what their opinion is on this war that I think we should not be in, that's causing things to go up, how they're dealing with the hurricane issues down in Katrina, the issues that really impact people. Like I said, I may not personally be impacted by some of this stuff, but being a social scientist and having spent years working with people and trying to create new programs and things for people who lived at poverty or right above it, I have to be concerned about those people. You know, I have seen people barely make it. In this economy, I don't know how people are making it.
It's a little scary to think about our future in some respects, because I don't know how we're going to get through this. At times, I wonder, because there's so many people who they're going to hit bottom.
Well, you know, I think about my grandkids and being able for them to go to college, where it's my, you know, one semester in college for them will be more than what my parents had to pay for a 4-year education plus a graduate degree.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to look at what are we doing to make life better for people in this country, and it don't seem like we're doing anything.
Well, you have to wonder who's in control and why that is, because quite honestly, we're supposed to have a real democracy here, and for some reason, maybe we've failed. Maybe in many respects we've failed not to really ask our own tough questions of people. What do you think about that?
I agree. You know, there were issues when I lived in Southern California that when a politician came out with the issue that represented me that I didn't agree with, I went to the polls and exercised my right. But I think a lot of people just vote for the status quo. They don't really think when they go to the polls.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to get real information these days because it seems as if the press seems to have its own prejudice.
Yes, but you have to look at all the stations, and then you come up with your own consensus,
mm-hmm.
like I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I watch various shows and then read the newspaper, and then I decide what's right and what's wrong.
Who do you think is telling the truth these days?
Well, I think CNN gives you the better news.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. It takes, you know, we have to stay conscious and stay tuned, you know? Yeah.
And being in California, you know, if people in California, if they don't like who's governing them, they'll get them out of office one way or the other.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Acokeek sounds like it's a bit of a small kind of a rural town. How'd you ever choose to move to Acokeek?
Well, my family is basically, I grew up on the East Coast.
Uh-huh.
And then I decided that when I retired from the city of L.A., I would move back to the East Coast, and I was looking for housing, and I happened to go on the Internet and find this development in Acokeek. I had never heard of it.
And is it working for you?
Yeah, I'm close enough to D.C. where I could go and have a big city life and still live in a small community where there's not a lot of pollution, not a lot of traffic, and a little calmer and a little quieter than living in a large metropolitan city. I lived in a large metropolitan city all my life.
So the rural life is working for you. It's making you feel a little more at peace?
Oh, I'm calmer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've driven in L.A., you drive in the traffic for one day and you... Your nerves are bad.
I spent 40 minutes going one block just the other day up in L.A.
So you know what I mean. So now I can drive 40 miles in the same amount of time it took me to go 8.
Well, listen, Ann, thanks so much. I'm going to edit this down a little bit, and this will be then webcasting on the Wild Side News. That's actually wildsidenews.com on Thursday. And I so much appreciate your thoughts.
Well, thank you.
You bet. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We hear from our next guest, Ann Smith, when your voice of the earth continues here on the Wild Side News.
Traveling east, traveling west, wherever you go, Chevy service is best. Southward or north, near place or far, there's a Chevrolet dealer for your Chevrolet car.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.